Hi guys, welcome back to our very first episode back at Your Call to Action after 2 years of a sabbatical. What we're doing here is we're just going to reboot this opportunity to be able to speak with amazing entrepreneurs, but also really like-minded business owners who are going through the same process that everyone else is in building value for the world through e-commerce and services. Today, I'm so lucky to have meet and know Sarah, who is the owner of
Studio September. It's my web agency, and the other one that we have like partnership with is Generation You Can.
Studio September. Why September?
There is no big meaning behind that.
Oh, really? It just.
I'm born in September. It's a bit.
Oh.
I don't know. I need a name at a certain point. And I was doing like a peer-to-peer lending with a platform called October. And I was like, oh, I can take September.
And then September was born, Studio September. Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. And Sarah, the CEO and founder of StudioSeptember.com. Now, StudioSeptember.com, I'm going to let Sarah tell you all about it herself. So, Sarah, let me take no rebuttal from you in regards to how good your business is. So, why don't you tell the audience today, what is Studio September all about?
Okay, thank you very much, Jesse, to welcome to your podcast. And yes, like Studio September have been created like few years ago now, and it's an agency. It's like a studio propose branding and website, and especially for entrepreneur, for mentor, coach, consultant, mainly. And we do a little bit of e-commerce, also like more organic product, this type of website.
Right. Where did it start? Like, what was going on in your life to make you feel like this is something I would to pursue and begin?
I did like some study into communication, a little bit of graphic design. I have a master of marketing and all of that stuff. And meanwhile, I was a student. I worked for many like little shop and, you know, like a little bit as a side job. I was proposing my services as a graphic designer and so on. So it was like kind of, I would say like student job in order to get a little bit of money. And what's happened is after my master's degree, I moved to Paris and I really, really wanted to have this corporate dream job of being like a manager of marketing services or maybe like some project manager for big agency. Like that was my dream. But what happened is, I get this type of position, but during the evening and during the weekend, I was still working on the side for my client as a freelancer. And what's happened is in 2018, I decide like Paris life and France. And I really wanted to discover something different and I decided to travel. And when I travel, I became like a digital nomad. And at that time, I decided to focus only on September and to make it grow. So yeah, this is how things happen. First, I was alone. So it was more like Sarah. And then after we hire like different people and different skills, and then it become like more collective and become like Studio September.
And so what was it like in those first early years of running Studio September? What were some of the really good times and what were some of the challenges you were facing?
Oh, like so many. I actually believe like to become an entrepreneur is also like a personal journey. I think when you become an entrepreneur, you become your own boss. You also work a lot on yourself. So I would say the difficulty, the thing that you have to work on your life, it will appear in your business. So for example, if you don't know how to put boundaries into your life, you will see like some client who will ask a lot without you saying no, for example. Also like things about your work value, how to set up your price and everything. It's also like a reflection of where you are in your life currently. So I would say that the main challenge I get was beginning to my personal evolution, my personal journey at the same time. Especially at the beginning, I really want to do everything myself. I didn't understand to delegate, to have a team would be like the way for me to grow and to enjoy my life even more and to work with like very talented people and provide even like more satisfaction for my clients. So it took me a lot of time to see that delegate was a way to get better in my business and to grow basically.
That is usually a really big challenge for a lot of people that start. It's being able to trust other people with tasks in the business, especially when
yes.
every single dollar counts because there's not so many of them. So I totally understand like that growth issue. It's a fear at the beginning, but then it becomes hopefully something that's conditioned. And what was it that you were worried about in those early days, trusting people to do tasks for you before it became a bit more easier?
Yes, a mix of few things, but trust first. I think especially when our work is related to, I wouldn't say art, but like design somehow, you have your own signature, right? So it's not something very standard. It's really you put a little bit of yourself into every design. It's your perception of what is beautiful and harmonious and balanced. And it's difficult at the beginning to trust that someone is able to incarnate your vision and to do something that you may like. So it was first a little bit of ego, maybe, I would say. And then also to find the right people, because I work also with some developer, and this type of talent is can easily, you know, jump from one mission to another one, and everyone is remote, so there is not like this human connection, I would say, because we are all over parts of the world, because at that time I was in Asia, some are in Portugal. So yeah, it was very difficult to find the people who will stay for a long time, and so I can train with my style of communication with my client. And I had to test many, many people. That was another challenge I had to face. And I think simply at the moment where you start to have a word of mouth that work properly, like you have more and more project, and I was not burnout, but I was quite overwhelmed, and I cannot see, like, it was so many things happen every day, and it was difficult to just sit down and say, okay, let's take some minutes and let's see how I can make a standard of some task, and how I can delegate and take the time for that. Because yeah, I was like running everywhere, trying to, there is fire everywhere that I try to turn off basically.
Yeah. So when you're going through and you're trying to help grow this team and you're right. Lots of challenges come in, and the team is, there's a bit of turnover there. How did you find like your groove? When did that start to like solidify the basis of your team? And what year was it in? Like, was it 2 years into the business? Was it 4 years into the business of Studio September that it started to figure out the team, as well as also the service proposal? Because I'm also guessing you were doing a lot of different things, but then did you consolidate, or how did it go through regard to the service? Because in the beginning, you just go with whoever's going to give you some money, but then, or was that not the case for you? Like, how was it when you had your idea of what you wanted to offer the world? Like, yeah.
I think it's also part of every business, especially when you are beginner. Like personally, like I have no one in my family who teach me, or you know, like being an entrepreneur is not really something you can learn at school. So you have to discover things by yourself. And for me, I was very lucky because, I became a digital nomad. So I went first in Chiang Mai. And Chiang Mai is a very nice city to meet other entrepreneurs who has got already some systems, some team and marketing and all that stuff, right? So by being like a bit mentor by some people, I understand also to have a wide range of services is not also the best option ever. So like you said, at the beginning, you want to say yes to everyone first because you want to please everyone. So like I said, it's still the things about your personal journey and like the entrepreneur one. But yeah, first you want to say to yes to everyone, to every type of client. You want to, yeah, to give the best of yourself and to even take like some mission or some projects that you are not 100% sure you can be your at your best, I would say. So yeah, that's a problem at the beginning about, yeah, it's not the problem, I would say, but this is a bit the challenge at the beginning. But now it's been 3-4 years that I'm doing the job, like completely like 100% of my time. And I think since maybe like 2 years, I really decide, okay, we just focus on branding and we just focus on WordPress website and simple WordPress website. And we won't take like any more like SEO or Facebook ads or community management, because the client naturally ask us to do this type of marketing. And I mean, even if I have the knowledge, I'm maybe not the right person. And before I was like, yeah, okay, I can help, I can. But at the end, nobody was very happy. So now I'm more like working with like reliable experts, and I just take the client and say, okay, maybe you should see this person.
What? So what happened there? Because what was it that made you just want to do the branding? And I'm curious to know if this was a financial decision, or was this an emotional decision, or a passion focus? Like, what was your logic and reasoning behind choosing only branding and not other areas when it comes to e-commerce or anything in regards to the services you were looking at? I'm really curious.
That's a good question. Yeah, I decided to focus on this area because this is the area of my business where I feel the most comfortable about myself and the skills. And I can see that my clients were very happy about it. And it's the same for the website. Instead to take like very, very big and very technical project, I focus more between for this consultant, entrepreneur, or simple e-shop website, because this is simply where I feel the most comfortable and where I have like the most rate of success, basically. And also I understand little by little that it's very empowering, like consultant, when they have like a beautiful branding, when they have like design they are very proud of, when they have a website that they really want to show to the world, and you know, they are very proud, and you know that they give them like a lot of confidence. And I've been like very, I would say, kind of very admirative to all these people who decide to leave the corporate job and try things by themselves and everything. And it's my way of supporting their talent. I think there is so many talented entrepreneurs, coach, consultant, and so on. But sometimes, because the design, because the website feel a little bit off or not very professional, then they are very impacted by that. And yeah, that's my way to support, to make beautiful things, professional things for them. So, yes, they can have the credibility that they deserve.
I see. So, what you've shared the word digital nomad a couple of times. I actually don't know what a digital nomad is. So, when you say that, what is that word? What does that phrase mean?
Yeah, digital nomad, I would say this is the people who decide to remote to work remotely, simply. They don't want to be in an office anymore. They want to have this freedom to be wherever they want. I think that's different style of digital nomad. There is some who really likes to change every 3 months and go to, I don't know, like Thailand and Bali and then Colombia, and just come back to Spain. So there is people who really enjoy this lifestyle. But on my side, I Digital nomad, I would say more very, very, very slow traveler on my side. I just stay to the same city where I have my habits and like all my comfort and my connection and my friends. So yeah, basically I maybe move every year, I would say. So very, very slow traveler from my side. But yeah, otherwise, digital nomad could be entrepreneur, but could be also like some people who are just remote and they are employed.
So when you are saying digital nomads, because for everyone who's just figuring out, I guess it's pretty obvious by now, you're from France, yeah?
Yes.
So, and you're in Thailand. So yes. France and Thailand, is there any, but you do most of your work in Thailand, right?
Yes.
Do you do any other work for the business other than Thailand, like Indonesia or Vietnam, or is it mostly just Thailand?
Yeah, I've been in Indonesia for 2 years before, but I think it was very special time because it was the COVID one. I think my base now is definitely Chiang Mai. I think, of course, I am still refine this decision, but I think my life would be spread between Chiang Mai and France.
Did you choose to do your business in Chiang Mai more because of economic opportunities, like it's more affordable from an overheads perspective for the business, other than doing it in France directly? I'm curious to know where the benefits are when you have built connections in France, and France has, it would clearly have a lot of people of opportunity and wealth in Europe, and would probably pay more for your services for that position. But within Chiang Mai, for Chiang Mai economy, it would be building a connection that you would also need to do for a long time, and then have them pay you. And I'm assuming the people from Chiang Mai wouldn't pay you as much. So I'm just curious to know, like, what are those benefits operating from Chiang Mai instead of France directly?
I think both destination has got good things and bad things, right? It's not everything is black and white. I am currently, I would say that most of my client is international anyway. They found me online, they found me by word of mouth, or because I do some collaboration and so on. So basically, like, all my clients are in United States, in Australia, I have a little bit in Bali, I have a little bit in France, and I have no one here in Thailand. So I'm not working with any person in Thailand. So I would say really like that my, at the end, like my clients hire me, but they know that I may come to see them maybe once or twice a year, but we will work together remotely. I understand what you said about the opportunity, because being physically, for example, in a country like France, for sure will bring me like a little bit more opportunities than staying here in Chiang Mai. Of course, like Thailand is still a hub for entrepreneurs and so on. But like most of time, those people are not my final client. I work more with people, like I say, like back in France, who have got like a physical shop or a consultant in Paris and things like this. So yeah, that's one of the good and bad side about Thailand. What I like about being here is also the lifestyle. So like I said, I think as an entrepreneur, we really need to be aware about like our well-being, because we have so much freedom. We can live whenever we want in the world. I mean, if you have like the financial capacity, of course. But I mean, all the door is open, right? And it's really coming back to, okay, where I feel the most happy, because if I am happy, my team will be happy and my client will be too, and everyone will work in a harmony and everything will be more efficient. And I think like Thailand, I've got a lifestyle that I really enjoy. There is a lot like workshop about wellness. There is very interesting people. I feel very inspired by the nature, but all the story around me, like all this ambitious people and unique personality. So that's one of the good things of being like surrounded by business owner and, you know, something just different than I used to know before.
So it's working out really well being in two cities economically. Yes. And also the opportunities come with it. Would you say it's also broadened your horizons around different options that you would have available?
Yes, I would say that being in two cities, like in a very international crowd, I would say here in Thailand, because there is people from all over the world, right? And being like 1 foot in France and 1 foot here, allow me also to join sometimes some project. And for example, this is what happened in 2019. I was in a co-working space, and which like this place are very nice because you can connect with people very easily. You can know more about their business. You can help a little bit there and there, just with advice, right? And in that time in 2019, I met an Australian guy called Matt, and who has got two businesses, and one of them was an e-commerce base in Australia. And I was like, okay, but why you don't do like a bit of SEO? Why you don't? Your website is super old. It doesn't like very appealing for your client. Why you don't do this and that? Change some call to action, blah blah blah. And yes, at the moment you say, oh, Sarah, you seem to know quite a lot. And actually, I'm looking for marketer, operational manager, kind of. Do you want to help me? And this is how I end up working for Matt for maybe 3 years, a little bit like a side job, close to on the side of September, basically. So that was an opportunity that was able to rise up to be presented to me because I was abroad, because I was in a co-working space, because I was in Chiang Mai, because I was in a place where people can easily talk to you, because advice, like giving advice and so on, is very common. And this is where I end up to work with this person who teach me a lot. It teach me a lot about English and learn to understand like Australian accent and but also like good about e-commerce Aussies. And all of that. So yeah, it's been an amazing opportunity.
That's really cool. That's so cool. So you're talking with Matt, you're growing the business, then this opportunity comes through. And there's lots of ways to look at an e-commerce business. And a lot of people look at it. Like some people will start it with a passion and an interest. And then another person will come in with just dollars in the eyes and try and figure out how to turn it around and make a whole lot of money. What was it to you that gave you an interest into Generation YouCan and the e-commerce business that made you want to work on this?
Yes, there is different aspects, and there is nothing good and bad about seeing any business as just a way to make money. And it's completely fine if you are good with what you do. I mean, I don't have any judgment about this. For me, it's I feel very connected to all my business because I involve people, because like all my clients on a September studio point of view are people who are with me since 8 years and 10 years. So it's like very long relationship. And I really see the business grow with us. And sometimes we do like just a little things, but now we are very, very involved into the team. Like we talk to them like 1 hour every day on the phone. So for me, because of my personality, it would never be like just something for the money, because there is so much involvement, so much commitment, and so much emotion linked to all this is business. I'm not sure it's a very good thing still, but this is how I operate. About YouCan, I think what I see in it was a way to learn a lot, especially about a new market, like I say, new languages, new product. And I'm very passionate about learning. So I had this website that, I don't know, has got this amount of traffic, this amount of sales, and like, what can I put in place in order to make it grow. So here, even if I am not using at that time the project directly, I was like, okay, how can I reach these people? Or I can give them like value so they understand the quality of the product. How can I make the website more visible? And when you see like your improvement, day, not day by day, but month by month, I think it's very rewarding. And this is what happened with UK. And like we multiply the business in a very like the income and everything. We get more clients. We start to do like some ambassador like partnership. We develop. We change warehouse and so on and so on. So it was very rewarding and it was very interesting to grow, I would say, and to learn.
So you were at this point in the beginning. You met at a co-working space, then Matt and you become friends and then trusts you to work together and then you trust him to work with him. Then you're both working together and it's growing. What happened to the point where you became the owner of Generation UCAN? I know I just stole the punchline, but bridge that gap for me where you became from just working through this, enjoying it while building Studio September, to now taking on board this business and this opportunity in this market.
Indeed, we start just meeting and being friends, working together. Like I said, like together we make the business grow. And then it came to the point where I was not doing everything, but the most part of the job. And he was focusing on a very successful business on his side, that another one that he owned, right? And I think he had to make the choice of, should I focus on this, on my own business right now, or should I continue with Sarah and taking care of UCAN, basically? And I think he makes the choice of being completely focused. And at that time, the team grow on his side and he has got like, it's a lot of things to deal. And he proposed me, well, do you want to buy the business? Because I will sell it. And I just say, yes, I will do it. I will become a UCAN business owner. And it was a little bit scary because, of course, behind this type of e-commerce website, there is a lot of number, anticipate all the number, accounting, and like all these things that I had to take care of now as a business owner of such a big e-commerce website. But yeah, the challenge was very interesting. And like I said, I think I have a lot of connection with the business I'm taking care of. So Studio September, for sure, is my baby. Some of the website of my client, I feel it's a little bit also part of me. I'm taking care of one of my main clients, a soap factory, from more than 10 years now. And yeah, I feel very connected to it. And it was the same with UCAN because I put so much hour and effort and try to optimize and try some methodology and some technique and marketing. And even the team, because I was working like with an amazing lady. And yeah, I just wanted to work, carry on and hire like new people to support her and like, yeah, build the team simply. So this is the reason that I carry on with UCAN. Like I said, like still this emotional part, but also because I think this is a business who has got like still a lot of potential. Yeah. And I'm really curious about where we can bring it.
Right.
And just for the team, simply.
That makes sense. So now that you own it and you're running it, and there are other people who I'm aware of today that have an e-commerce business that wasn't their core revenue stream, but hopefully something to complement them. But then it comes down to the amount of workload that it would take to run it. So based on Generation UCAN is, and for people who are listening, some e-commerce businesses can become a side product business that is not all consuming once established infrastructure is built, like website, the SEO, the advertising lines, and the social media campaigns. So how has it been to bring Generation UCAN into a place of automation as it would be today from your perspective?
I think it come up to, for me, I would say, like it come up to the point where on my personal journey. I couldn't be like someone who just takes things like day by day. And I need at a certain point to sit down, like I say, to hire a team, to break down everything that I do. I'm talking about like September, but I'm talking about you, Ken, it's the same. It's really the moment where I sit down and say, okay, what I'm doing every day, what's the task that I need to do and what I can delegate or not. And so that's the process that I did. At a moment, I was like, I need to embrace this role of founder, of CEO, and so on. And I need to get very structured in order to give the knowledge to my team so they can follow a process, basically. And I start to build a lot of SOP, like some template for some email, some recording video, and so on. And that has been like life-changing. And now it's like so easy. And that's why even it's like two big business, like both of them has got a few clients and there is a lot to do. But because of being very organized, which was absolutely not my personality at the beginning, but by being organized and document everything, like on Notion, we have like a huge wiki of the company where like everything is right and it's super easy for anyone to come to the team to know where to find the information and just taking care of everything. So for SEO, marketing, social media, customer service, email. So yeah, that was game changer. This and also to hire the right project manager. First, when I start, like, for example, Studio September, I was working with developer a lot, but that's the moment where I start to train project manager, account manager, that the things change because I have someone who can take care of, come back to me, ask me, like, what do you want? What do you want to achieve? And then just delegate to the team. That was also a game changer. Wow. To document and to have the right person as a project manager.
How long have you had a project manager? Like, what was it like before and after? Because I haven't worked with one personally myself in our business. So I'm curious to know, when did you start using them and how's it been?
I was very focused, like I said, on the operational point of view and the technical side first. Like, okay, I need to find a good developer and so on. But what I miss at that time is the mental load is maybe sometimes more overwhelmed than doing the task by itself. So for example, thinking, okay, I need to answer to this client. I need to post this on social media. I need to take care of SEO. I need to, and all of that is little task, but it consumes so much mental place, like the world, I don't know how to say.
Yeah.
Like,
just takes a lot of mental power.
So, yes. So being able to have someone who just come to me like every morning, like, okay, today we're going to work on this, okay. And then delegate to the graphic designer, the developer, the community manager, and so on. That was game changing because it's like I take my brain and can give, and we have two brains now to make things happen, right? I think at the moment where I hire my first project manager, a lot of things change. First, my client get even more supported because we were able to reply like more accurately, like we really take the time and we have like amazing follow-up. Before it was just me. So because the business was growing, there is so many requests every day. I feel very overwhelmed. But now with like few different project manager, like we spread the client and so each of them able to take care of their client. And yes, we gain in reactivity and just the relationship was even better. And same for the team. Like for example, when my developer was doing something, I check, but it's still very interesting to have like a second point of view or even quality check and so on and so on. So we really gain in proximity with the client, productivity and all of that.
Oh, I love it. So good. We've covered a lot here in this conversation and about how it started and where you are now, the e-commerce business working together. Would you say that if you could go all the way back to the beginning and do it differently, pretty much from the beginning all the way to today, if there were things you would have changed, errors that you would have avoided, what would that have been?
I think a lot of things, to be honest. But it's still very interesting to work with someone like a mentor or someone you trust. So I would do that very early because I found out stuff today, like some topic and some improvement that I would have been able to implement way before, and I would have make life very easy for me, like if I knew this information. I mean, like a very easy and simple mirror is like how you price your services. At the beginning, like I said, I have no notion about it. I didn't know like everything that involved when you, for example, sell like a website very cheap. I didn't know how it impact. Of course, it impact my rentability, but that's something very more deep, right? Your like the way you value your time and the energy you're gonna put into the in the project. Many things like this that I was very blind about that, and I know that later I understand what is the B and like the price you put on your services. So I think working with someone you trust is something very valuable, especially at the beginning of the business. And I think I'm not a big advocate about the digital nomad life, like I said, like the one who traveled very often with not to settle, not base, like changing environment all the time. For me, is not very productive, but that's me and my personality, of course. Maybe some other people can fit on that. However, I think traveling was very beneficial for me. And if I could come back in time, I would say to myself, okay, it's good, you have your marketing degree, you have spent a lot of time in school, and I'm not sure it's super useful for what you do today. But
lots of money to pay.
Then I would say... That's another topic, but I would say, traveling is quite interesting because I had the opportunity to meet very, very interesting person, like with completely different way of seeing life. Some people who were very, very into self-development, and some people very ambitious, some people who has got a job and decide from one day to other to quit everything and just follow their heart on something completely different, and were also, again, like very successful. So traveling and to be surrounded by this community of entrepreneurs was one of the best things that happened to me.
Yeah, I would support that 100%. So... We could talk on for hours, and I know we could, but we got to bring it to a close. So I just wanted to end it the same way all these podcasts have ended, which is about something that people could action, some people could do right now in their e-commerce business that they are building towards their dreams. So if you were to speak to them directly and give them their call to action that they could do based on your experiences, what would you recommend?
I think... when it comes up to services for everyone who wants to propose their services, like I say, consultant and so on, I would try. I mean, like, I would try sometime to work for collaboration, to be an intern, or to do like, or just to build a portfolio, basically to try to refine your services until you found like, okay, now I can sell it. But even for the e-commerce, you know, first you don't have to buy like a huge quantity. You can buy just few of them and a few of item, and you just sell it. I know when I start actually to do e-commerce a little bit before you can, where I was selling some bottle of water, whatever. But I just make like 5-10 of them, and then I say, oh, it works well actually. Like this type of people like it, this type of shop like it, and yeah, you. You can try little by little, and actually it's less scary than it looks like. There is no big involvement, and everyone can do it on a side job. Like you can have a corporate job and just take like 2 hours, three hours a day to work on your side business.
That's good. All right. So if you do have a business and you are selling and you want to get new products, buy a smaller batch. Don't have to buy the whole lot. Start small based on what you can afford. Good advice. Thank you, Sarah. Sarah, thank you so much for being on this podcast episode with us. And if people wanted to know more about you or find out about your services, where can they go?
Okay. So for September, for the branding and website is studioseptember.com. And for UCAN, it's generationucan.com.au.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming, and have a good day, everyone.